Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing all right. I wondered aloud, and I don't know, it was half joking, but I mean, the way things had been going and the defense part of the program hadn't been adhered to by the players, according to the coach, that maybe a loss would be okay. Maybe he looked up in his rearview mirror there last night and it was a bit of a smirk on his face driving home.
Cancel the parade. Hey?
Yeah. So it's
cancel
over?
The
is that it? No, but
yeah.
But I'm just thinking that Babcock wants to get his message through, and this was a help for him going forward, especially with the Canadians coming up.
Well, for sure. And when you watch those first few games and you're scoring at will, there might have been a false sense of security. But, you know, when you watch certain parts of the Winnipeg game early and Chicago early, you watched a team that could have been down 2 or 3 goals. And that's what happened last night when the score went 4-2. It just got out of hand, and all of a sudden the light switch couldn't go on the offense. So they'll watch the game today, and they'll go back to work tomorrow, get ready for Montreal.
Leafs 2 of the Canadians on Hockey Night in Canada, 7 o'clock Saturday, of course, on CBC. I saw you. I'm at the game last night. I saw you. You did the Leafs troops. You got the blazer going. What happens if you lose the blazer? Who do you call, and will they give you a second blazer?
Well, you know, and here's the dilemma, too. It's like, do you just wear the blazer all night, or do you take it with you?
I know,
right?
Yeah. Like, if you got stopped by a cop and had the blazer on, that's an awkward scenario,
and,
right?
And, you know, I went down to the game with my wife, my daughter, and my in-laws, and so I carried the blazer with me, and, you know, we're in the car, and I'm like, don't let me forget the blazer. I just had visions of getting out of the cab and leaving the blazer in the car and then it driving away. And I'm like, oh, my God, I was just like sweating it out.
Seems to me you need a locker at the ACC, one at home, one there just in case.
Yes, me beside Carlton the Bear.
Well, you right? got enough games in. Like, I don't, you know, not to name names, but I'm not, like, Brad May got to play in the alumni game. I'm not sure 38 games get someone
wow,
a blazer.
I'm not that far off.
That's more than 38. Come on.
You know, but regardless, I can say that I'm very proud to be a very, very small little speck in that alumni room. Those are a great bunch of guys. Very passionate, still watching the Leafs, and they do a great job there at the ACC for ex-players.
They've done a super job, yeah.
Very proud to be part of it. You know, Glenn Healy now has taken over for the whole umbrella of the NHL alumni, so I'm very proud of our group.
Games against Brad May are 59-38, and I mean, I had to add it up, and that's a blowout. That's a blowout, and that's a blowout in basketball or football. So I don't want to be that guy about Freddie Anderson, and he got a lot of praise for the first period last week, but his October is starting to look like last October. I know he corrected himself. But there I am driving home, Nick, and I'm thinking this is a little bit like being in, you know, that relationship before your marriage where you're like, you see Corey Schneider come in and you're like, man, he looks good.
Yeah.
They got to play Price and Holtby are the next two goalies they play. Quick next week. Like, it's a bad feeling knowing you like the other guy at the other end better a lot of nights, right?
Well, yeah, listen, Freddie Anderson got off to a much better start than he did last year, even including last night's game. So in saying that, I think he's a very good goalie, and I think his upside's great. But then you can sit there and say that about 22, 23 other starters in the league, you know, outside the ones that have already won, like Matt Murray. So he's in the mix with a lot of guys. I'm watching Mike Smith in mm-hmm. Calgary last night, and you know, they win in overtime. Yeah, he was up 2-0, let a couple goals in, get LA back in the game, and then and you're watching it and you're going, Mike Smith's a pretty good goalie, you know, and he hasn't really proved anything long term as well, like Freddie Anderson. But they're good goalies. They're going to have their moments. Anderson's learning as much as Jake Gardner's learning, and Morgan Riley's still learning how to be a consistent pro in the National Hockey League. So I like him, you know, despite his October that you just mentioned. The upside's still there for Frederick Anderson to be a very good goalie in this league.
And the defense in front of him, we're coming out of last season, and everyone's going, you know, in the offseason, that's what the Leafs need. They need to go out and get a top four defenseman. Yeah. And no knock against Ron Hainsey, but, you know, he's getting used to this system, and you still have Gardner, you know, as good as he is, having those plays. And you're working in a new 5-6. I mean, yeah, it's their defense is a work in progress.
Well, it was last night. And let's face it, they all had tough nights where they got beat. And they got beat bad, and Hainsey did off the wall and in the offensive zone. Jake Gardner gets beat to the point where he ends up taking a penalty, and we've seen that a couple times already. It will eventually get addressed. I think you've watched that blue line so far this season. It's early, but the signs at times are what you saw last year and the year before, that their competitive juices just can't come when they're carrying the puck out of their own zone and thinking offense and jumping up on plays, that there has to be a level of commitment to be on the right side of the puck no matter where you are on the ice. And that hasn't been the case. And that is Babcock's biggest challenge. I said that before the season started. They're going to score a lot of goals. But they've been in the bottom third the last 2 years and in the goals against average. And they're heading there right now. And you cannot get to a conference final or a Stanley Cup final if that trend continues.
You played enough and have seen enough to know, my God, that Austin Matthews on the forecheck at age 20 and digging pucks out. Matt's took time. Remember his first couple of years in Quebec, and it's such a learning curve, even for a huge guy destined for the Hall of Fame. I don't, and I think Matt's got it by the time he was 25, 26, and he was tenacious on the forecheck. Matthew's success rate in getting pucks away from defensemen against boards, it's insane. Like Stamkos and Tavares, they're not even on the same planet at the same age that Austin Matthews is.
Not many have. And Greg, you know, I go back to the World Cup last season when I'm watching those first couple games, and he's with Connor, and he's pretty much doing a lot of the stuff that you just talked about in the World Cup. And then it kind of dawns on me that, last year he weighed about 225 pounds, right? And that strength, you can see right away, and that's the difference between, 19, 20, and 21-year-olds is that, Connor McDavid last year probably weighed, 190, if that? And now Connor McDavid worked his butt off this summer to get up to around 197.
Like, think of Kadri, right? You and I used to talk about Kadri. He came into the league, and Burke would call him up, and he was probably 160 pounds soaking. How's he supposed to check a number one center? There's no way to do it.
And that's the beauty of Austin Matthews right now is that he skates like he's about 180 pounds, and he doesn't have probably that fourth gear. Nobody does on the planet that Connor McDavid does, but Connor McDavid doesn't have his strength to go down low and consistently steal pucks like Austin Matthews and to do it with a ton of finesse, but also do it with brute strength. I mean, Austin Matthews, man, he's fun to watch.